Thank you for joining us for another great message from The Door. This week, Andrew Chalmers shares a powerful message on the importance of courage and faith in our lives.
Thank you, Brian. It's so good to be with you guys. I have actually been sick all weekend, so I'm just glad to be with you guys. Let's just pray real quick, and we're going to dive into Joshua chapter 1. Father, I just pray right now that you would take your word, that you would illuminate it, that you would give us the ability to hear what it is that you're saying. Father, I thank you for every Occupy graduate. Lord, I pray just a blessing over them. I thank you for their families and those who came here as guests tonight. God, I pray that they would hear a word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're actually, we're going to have just a quick message on courage. Say courage. We're just going to be talking about courage tonight, and I feel like this is something that the Lord really has been showing me, and something that means a lot to me. And in fact, the whole book of Joshua is just really a powerful book in my life, and has meant a lot to me. In fact, The Door, which is where you're at tonight, in case you didn't know that, you're at The Door. But The Door is actually under the ministry called Take the City, which is a ministry that we started about 4 years ago. And the ministry was actually birthed out of the book of Joshua through just studying the Word of God and just really digging into these scriptures in God's heart for cities, that God desires that we would see whole cities transformed. And in the same way that Joshua and the people of Israel believed God for whole cities, God, I feel like, has given us a vision and given us a burden to believe him also for entire cities. And so tonight we're going to be looking into Joshua chapter 1. But in your journey following Christ, I don't know, you know, how long you've been serving the Lord. There's people here, you know, that are a wide variety of ages from a lot of different kinds of churches. We have, you know, a 5-year-old here. We probably have a 65-year-old here. I'm talking to a pretty big group of people tonight. But here's what I can guarantee you is that if you are on a journey of following Jesus, he is going to put you in places where you desperately need courage. Whether you're young or whether you're old, the Lord always seems to bring us into places where we need courage. Amen. And I know there, everyone in the room tonight, you guys are all in different places. And so maybe tonight, maybe right now, you're actually in a season where you say, I desperately need courage right now. And maybe that's where you're at. And I just pray that tonight God would just speak to you out of his word. Maybe you're in a season where you just came out of a season where you desperately needed courage, and you're finally taking a deep breath because you feel like everything is going really, really well. Well, I guess the message tonight is get ready, because here comes another season where God is going to require that you have a lot of courage. And then I feel like there's also people in the room that maybe you haven't needed much courage in a long time. And I feel like that tonight God is going to challenge you to dream bigger than you've dreamed before. I think, you know, as we follow the Lord, there are times where we can just flat out say no, where God can give us a dream, God can give us a vision, God can call us to do something that's way outside of our comfort zone, and we just flat out say no. Why? Because we want to stay in a place where we don't desperately need him, and we don't desperately need courage. And so maybe for a long time you haven't needed much courage, and tonight my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would sort of maybe put off a little, you know, red flag and just say, hey, why is it that I haven't needed much courage in a long time? Why is it that I haven't really had to depend on God? Maybe I've just been coasting, and maybe God is saying, hey, I've got something big for you that I'm calling you into, and yeah, it's scary, but I'm going to actually give you the courage and that which you need in order to begin to see that fulfilled. Amen? So as we're following him, I just believe that like in my life, there's always been times where I've had to, I've needed a desperate amount of courage. I've needed him to strengthen me and help me through different situations. You know, in fact, from the very beginning of when I made a decision to follow Christ, the situation that I was in was, I was in a desperate situation where I really did need him to show up. And just the idea of following him and making that decision, it required a lot of courage from there on out. And so I'm very familiar with this, but I'm also familiar with the temptation that after a season of going, birthing and seeing great vision come to pass, so God shows you a dream, I'm very familiar with seeing those dreams fulfilled and coming in on the other side and then being tempted to say, wow, isn't this nice? I kind of like this. You know, God, can't we just coast for a really, really long time? I feel like the Lord's just calling us, and this is not just a message to the Occupy graduates, but this is a message to all of us. I feel like Jesus is calling us into a life as we're disciples, as we're following him. I believe he's calling us into a life where we desperately need radical courage. So turning your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So the book of Joshua immediately follows the book of Deuteronomy. And the books are split up because Moses dies. God buries him. They don't know where he was buried, but God buries Moses. But before Moses dies, Moses actually laid his hands upon Joshua. And when he laid hands upon Joshua, he was imparting to him and really passing the baton, saying, okay, Joshua, it's your turn. Now you will lead God's people. And so that's really, as you turn the page from Deuteronomy into Joshua, that's the transition that we're seeing in the people of Israel, is that it's moving from Moses, you know, the greatest prophet ever, the one that, if you're with Jewish people, I mean, Moses is like the guy. And so all of a sudden, Joshua, he follows in the footsteps or follows in the shadow of Moses. And one of the first things that I want to point out in verses 1 and 2 is that Joshua actually served Moses faithfully for a very, very, very long time. If you read through the book of Deuteronomy, the reality is that Joshua was actually a part of the story for most of the time. And it wasn't until now that Joshua actually began to take leadership, and actually that the dream and the vision of God for his people became the dream and the vision that Joshua now was to carry out. And so we're going to be starting here with the book of Joshua, but here's one thing I want to point out that's a little bit off subject from the subject tonight of courage. If you want to step into a season of seeing your dreams and your visions realized, God may be challenging you actually to find other people that he's using currently with their dreams and their visions, and that you would actually come alongside and that you would serve them for a season of time. And so I feel like, you know, maybe tonight there may be people in this room, you say, you know what, I don't really need a lot of courage, and I don't really have big dreams, or I don't really have all, you know, vision that God's given me. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Let's just say maybe you're a little bit before the book of Joshua. You're maybe back in Deuteronomy somewhere. If that's where you're at tonight, here's what I would encourage you to do. Just find someone that the Lord would lead you to, and begin serving their vision and the vision that God has given them, and start really just making sacrifices and pouring out your life to see their vision fulfilled. Because there will come a day where, when God sees that you're faithful to serve one who has a vision, that he'll bring you to a Joshua 1:1 moment where that person will pass along, and then eventually you'll begin to see your dreams and your visions fulfilled. Amen? Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward going down the south of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, the reason God is saying be strong and of good courage to Joshua in this moment is because the assignment and the task that was in front of Joshua was terrifying, the kind of terrifying where your knees start to buckle and they start shaking and your whole body starts shaking and you don't know what you're about to do because this is scary. And Joshua had been trained up. He had been serving under Moses for a season. It said that the spirit that was upon Moses was also upon Joshua. In other words, he was an anointed leader for this kind of a time. He was ready for this. But still, you guys know, as they began to come over that crest and they began to see the promised land, how many of you guys know that they were terrified of the idea of trying to go in and take these cities because these people were bigger than them, they were stronger than them, they had more than them, they had walled cities. So how were they going to go and how are they going to see these cities taken? And here God chooses, he chooses to say, be of good courage, be filled with courage, be filled with strength. You're going to need strength and courage. And here's the first thing that I want to point out to you guys. In Joshua 1, 6 through 9, God, he says, be strong and of good courage, for this people shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do, not turn from it from the right or to the left. And then I love verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So here's the first thing that I want to point out. Joshua, he was called to do something that was bigger than him. He was called to do something that required much courage and much strength. At this moment, Joshua needed the courage and the strength of the Lord. And here is a key that God gives us. And this is a key that God gave to Joshua. He says, I want you to meditate on my word day and night. I want you to take this law, this book, these things that I've given to you and my people, and I want you to meditate on them day and night. Tonight, like I said, I feel like we're all maybe in a few different places as far as the dreams and the visions that God has given you. But here's the reality. As you begin to step into more and more following Jesus, more and more he's going to bring you to places where you desperately need courage and where you desperately need strength in order to make it through. Amen? Here's the key that God gives us. If you want the courage and the strength that you need, it's got to come first of all with communion with God in his word and in his presence, and in just spending time with him. Here's the reality, is that every single day, there could be things that you're facing, there could be things that you're going through, there could be challenges that come up, or there could just be incredible promises that God's given you, and you're scared about how you're ever going to get there. When you wake up in the morning, and as you begin to spend time with God, and as you begin to spend time in his word, as you begin praying, guess what happens? It's like your courage levels begin to rise. As you begin to meditate upon his word, as you remind yourself of what the word of God says, as you're spending time connecting to him, your courage levels will rise. Guys, God is going to bring you into places where he's going to call you to do great and mighty things. And if you don't stay connected to his word, and if you don't stay connected to him and in his presence, then ultimately you won't have the courage to make it. Without staying connected to him and staying connected to his word, without allowing God to fill you with courage and strength, guess what? Even if you're pursuing the dreams and the visions that he's given you, you can't make it there unless you stay just connected to him nonstop every single day. God's calling us to stay connected to him. He says in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Here's the thought and here's the idea. Here's the reality. Here's the truth that you've got to hold on to. Has God given you dreams? Has God given you visions? Has God told you to do things that are bigger than you? Hopefully. If he has called you to do things that are bigger than you, here's the promise that he gives you. He's going to be with you and he's going to go with you wherever he calls you to go. And here's the promise. It's the promise of his presence. He promises that he will give you his presence. You'll have access to his presence no matter where he's calling you, no matter where these dreams take you, no matter where these visions that he's given you, no matter where those things take you, he promises that he's going to be with you. So the first thing that we need to do in order to keep ourselves in the courage of the Lord, the first thing, we've got to commune with God. The second thing, we're going to look at the last part of Joshua chapter 1. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over the Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of your Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Verse 16, so they, this is the people of God, the Israelites, they answer, they say to Joshua, all that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. And then here's really what I want to look at right at the end. Now the people of God, they look at Joshua in the face and they say, only be strong and of good courage. Here's the second thing. First of all, to pursue the dreams and the visions that God's given you, you've got to stay in communion with God, because it's in that place of communion with him and in his word where he sort of refills that courage tank. You guys know what I'm talking about? That courage tank, that faith tank, that tank that allows you to pursue these things and go after dreams that God's given you. But here's the second thing, the latter half of Joshua chapter 1, what happens is it begins like this. God is talking to Joshua, right? It's God and Joshua, God and Joshua. But then the last half of Joshua chapter 1, the whole picture changes, and it's no longer God and Joshua only, but now suddenly it's Joshua and it's the people of Israel. And why does the picture shift? Because the reality is that the dream and the vision that God had put on Joshua's life was completely impossible without the Israelites, his brothers and sisters, the community that he was leading. There was no way that he wasn't going to go inherit the promised land by himself. He needed community. He desperately needed that the people that he was leading, he desperately needed them to be able to take the promised land. Amen? Right? To go and take these cities. He was going to need a community around him. And so the picture, Joshua 1:1-9 is God and Joshua. And then 10 until the end, the picture is Joshua and his community. So here's the reality. If you want to see the dreams and the visions that God has given you fulfilled, not only do you need communion with God, but you need to be integrally a part of a community. You need to have community around you. And the reason that I loved pointing out the very end of Joshua chapter 1 is because the people, they turn back to Joshua, and what's the last thing they say? Be strong and of good courage. They remind him of what God had been saying. So not only does God want you to be in communion with him where he's reminding you to be filled with courage and filled with strength, because you're going to need it. As you follow Christ, he's calling you into places where you're not going to be comfortable. He's going to call you into places where things don't happen the way you wish they did. He's going to call you into places where he's going to say, I want you to go do that, and it's completely impossible for you to do it. And so one, you're going to have to stay connected to him on a daily basis, abiding in his presence and allowing him to fill you with courage and strength constantly. But here's the deal. Joshua chapter 1 reveals that's not enough alone. Joshua also needed community. He not only needed communion with God, but he had to be connected with a group of people who, at the end of everything that they said, remember what God said. Be strong. Be filled with courage. You've got to have people that are around you that remind you of the word of the Lord that God has put, the word that God has put on your life. You've got to have people around you who say, remember what God said when you want to quit and you want to give up. Because there's going to come times where you're going to be put into places where you're following God, and you're going to look at the mountain that's before you, and you're going to say, you know what, it's a lot easier to quit right now. And guys, there's a lot of people who start on this road of following Jesus, and they quit because it's too hard. And a lot of the reasons that people quit is because they live a life where it's just Jesus, me and Jesus, and they're terrified of community because they don't want to be hurt or offended, or they get hurt or they get offended, so they can't stay in community. But here's why community is so important. You've got to have community around you. You've got to have people who remind you. Remember what God said. Don't give up. I remember that time when God spoke to you. I remember how excited you were when that dream first came into your heart. And now that it's getting really hard, don't give up just because it's getting hard. You've got to have people around you who are going to say, don't stop pursuing this dream. Don't give up on this thing. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You've got to have people around you who are going to remind you of the word that God has put on your life. Amen? I just want to tell you guys a story. So about 5 years ago, when we had first started doing our ministry, the Lord called us to do something that was a lot bigger than really we had planned. And so what he called us to do was to host this event called Revival in the River. And if you're not from here, it's this event, this idea that we had that we would invite a lot of the churches to come together and have this big night of like worship and sharing the gospel and people getting saved. And it would just be this big event. And so anyways, honestly, guys, when the idea first came out, I was on a conference call with a group of leaders from around the Southeast, and we were planning this outreach for the next year. And the year before, we had done kind of the same thing that Take the City does now. That's kind of what we had done. And we sent 15 teams out to 15 locations, and we did this great outreach, and it was awesome. But when we got on the conference call, someone on the conference call just had to say something. They were like, hey, well, what if we did this? And they started to paint this picture of basically what now is Revival in the River. They started to paint this picture of this idea and this dream. And so when I heard that, I was like, no, we're definitely not doing that because that is a lot of work. You know, we could just do this, guys, because we have all the spreadsheets. Everything's ready to go. Like, it's not going to take any work. Let's just do what we did last year. Come on, guys. You know, like, so anyways, finally, before our next conference call, one of the things I committed to do was to call the location, the Phoenix City Amphitheater, and just to see if it would be possible if we could rent it. And so when I called, God just supernaturally connected us with another group of people who had the same vision that we had. In fact, when I got on the phone with the girl, I began to tell her about the vision that God had given us before we even really talked. And when I finished telling her the idea that we had, she was just bawling. She was sobbing on the other side of the phone. And she said, you literally just read the piece of paper that I'm sitting in front of me. Like the piece of paper that I had, what we're envisioning is what you just said, like to the T. And I was like, wow. And just, I sensed God's presence. And I was like, oh no, here we go. And so suddenly that released just, that released us this chain reaction of events where Revival in the River was birthed. And what a lot of people don't know is the excruciating pain of not knowing that first year. So when we began planning this first year Revival in the River, one of the huge breakthroughs that we had was that at first Chick-fil-A said they wouldn't partner with us. And then randomly they called me back and they said that they would. And so they decided that they were going to give away 3,000 free Chick-fil-A meals for this outreach that we were doing, which is a big deal. That's a huge financial, that's over $30,000 in a commitment as far as work hours, food, everything. That's a major donation from the Chick-fil-A Corporation. So that was a huge win, right? I'm like, yes! But then it sank in like 2 days later. Wait, what if nobody comes? We had never done this before. No one had been doing anything like this. It wasn't like something that people were doing. It wasn't like we had like a big speaker. We weren't inviting Billy Graham to come and share. It's like, you know, we didn't. It's kind of like, man, how are we going to get people to come here? And honestly, guys, you know, we started pursuing this vision and this dream. And then all of a sudden we realized, and the Chick-fil-A people realized, we could make all this food and have like 100 people show up. And so we started scrambling and making this backup plan. Okay, if nobody comes, the food's going to go here, 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 here. You know, this is what we're going to do because we don't know what's going to happen. And so finally, you know, the reason I'm sharing this story is because this was a moment for me where God had said, I want you to lead this thing. And I was like, I'm not really that interested. And he said, no, I want you to do it. And so I did it. And then he puts this vision, and I realized it was way bigger than me. Like, if this thing, if we pulled this off, it so wasn't me, it was going to be really obvious, you know, that I did not do it. And so I was put in that place where it was like, you know what, God put me in this place where if this actually happened, it wasn't because I did it, but it's because he did it. And while that's really cool to say right now, the 2 months leading up to that night were terrifying. I kept having these thoughts. Like, I would try to go to sleep, and I would just think, 100 people are going to come. We're going to have all this leftover food. You know, everyone's going to be like laughing at us. You know, it's just, it's going to be this failure. You know, we're terrified. Like, what if we follow God's leading and then we fail, you know? And so we move forward and finally the weekend leading up to the event, I was actually leading at a conference. I was doing MC, which means I was basically just introducing speakers and I was constantly talking through this event. And suddenly on Thursday night, which is the night before Revival in the River, on Thursday night, I'm emceeing. And it was like as if suddenly my energy level just started to shut down. And I'm like emceeing. I'm trying to be like, you know, happy or whatever, you know, just engaging people through this conference. And I'm doing all this. And all of a sudden, like fear literally came over me in a tangible form. Like it was so I was terrified. And so I'm sitting there trying to MC and talk to this conference, but literally in the back of my mind, all I can think is, oh crap, what are we doing? You know, like I was like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so I literally went home and I stayed up that night and I was just like, man, like, you know, I just remember like getting into this place where I just sort of, I was just like, you know what? It's going to be horrible. What are you doing? You know, and it was just like all of a sudden all this fear came over me. And the next morning, I woke up in the same feeling. It was just this horrible feeling in my stomach. It was this fear and this terror of like looking at all the planning we had done. But the reality is like we had no idea if anyone was coming. And so the weather, you know, is it going to rain? Like there's just so much. You're just like, man, is this going to work out? And so finally that morning, I'm sitting there and I'm just being ate up. And so literally I start having the thought, I'm not going. Like, I'm not going. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a situation where God calls you to do something and you get there the day of and you're like, I'm not doing this. But that was me. Like, I'm not going to Revival on the River. I was getting ready to text some people and just be like, I'm sick. Sorry. Because I was feeling sick, you know, but like I was about to back out of this dream that God had given me because I was so filled with fear. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, then suddenly this thought came to my mind. Why don't you call someone? I was like, that's a weird thought. Why would I call someone? You know, I don't want anyone to know I'm freaking out and don't want to go today, you know? And I was just like, I don't know. And all of a sudden this thought came again. It was God. He was speaking to me. He just said, you need to call Lynn. And Lynn was the leader over all of our intercessors for the event. And so I just called her. And she was in the car. She was in the car in North Georgia when I called her, and they were driving down. She was with a group of intercessors in this vehicle. And so she puts me on speaker immediately. She's like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just not feeling so good. You know, she's like, we're going to pray for you right now. I was like, okay. And so all of a sudden, this car full of intercessors, they start praying over me. And literally, just the fear just lifted. And all of a sudden, this courage and this boldness and this resolve, like, no. I am not going to let fear and intimidation push me back from the dreams that God has given me. Like, I am going to take steps forward in this, and I'm going to go tonight, and I don't, you know, if 20 people show up or 2,000 people show up, you know what, God, like, you told me to do this, and so I'm going to begin to take those steps forward. The reason I share that story is because, guys, there's going to be times where you're going to begin to be on the cusp of something, that a breakthrough that God is going to give you, And for you, it's terrifying. For you, you don't see how it's going to come together. You're not going to understand, like, how is this dream going to come to pass? And there are going to be times where it was actually Jesus that led you there. And you're thinking, like, oh, can this really be Jesus? I thought Jesus wanted me to always have warm and fuzzy feelings inside and always to be happy, right? No, like, actually Jesus will take you into places where you will be completely overwhelmed and in over your head, and he'll be calling you to do things that you know there's no way you can accomplish it. And he'll call you into those places, and that's when you're going to desperately need communion with the Father, where he can refill you and remind you to take courage and to have strength and resolve that he gave you this word and that he's calling you to do it. And not only to have that relationship with him, because sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes you do need people on the phone that you can call and say, listen, I feel like giving up. Are there people in your phone that you can call and you can say, I need some courage right now because this is too much. This is overwhelming me. The reality is I sense that if people don't have those people in their phones, you're not going to make it into the fullness of what God's calling you. The big dreams, the big visions, the big things that God is calling you into, you'll bypass all those things and you'll never truly start to climb those hills unless you have a group of people around you that are going to keep reminding you, hey, take courage. Remember what he said. Don't forget. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. God wants to release into your hearts tonight. He wants to give you courage. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you strength. And tonight, guys, if you're in a place where honestly you haven't, your life has not required a lot of courage of you, start asking him what he wants from you, what he would call you into. Just start asking the Lord. Say, what are the dreams? What are the things that you would call me into that would require the courage that Andrew was talking about? With our ministry, we plan, like right now, we're starting to plan all of next year. So in my mind, I'm already thinking all, you know, January until December, like planning out a bunch of stuff. It's tempting for me to look at next year and to say, wow, we could just do what we've always done. Let's play it safe. But I have to check myself. I really have to check that thought and say, wait, God, that doesn't really sound like you. That sounds like me. What are you saying? You know, and so even right now, I'm in a season, and I may be in a similar season as a lot of you, but I'm in a season right now where I'm saying, God, is there something that you would say about next year that might be a little overwhelming or a little too much for me, but that you just want me to go for that would require a little more courage than where I'm at right now? Let me just pray for you guys. You guys can just stand up.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door, please visit us at www.takethecity.com/the-door. Have a blessed week.